June 19, 2021, it's the Watt for Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Saturday. Not getting feedback going there, Watt. 20 years of doing this show, and I'm still fucking blowing clams. Start off with I Never Knew from John Coltrane. Then David Slusser, Zadok with Kubrick, maybe something to do with that director, man. That only 13 movies, but they're fucking kind.
Yeah.
Check them out, people. Ah, you can hear. I'm not totally man alone. Yeah, Brother Matt, he's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point still. We're coming out of Quentin Quarantino mode. But because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got David Slusser with me. I pronounced that fucked up. David Slusser?
Slusser.
Slusser, okay. So sorry. We got to thank the brutal sound effects crew for the Kinect, Dave. The he who cannot be named wish the collective to be given credit.
Well, it's a great movement. Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, sound, noise. You had Tim Perkis on here recently on
your
podcast.
Beautiful, yeah, just a few days ago.
Yeah, he's part of a, you know, this gang of us. There's, you know, 100 musicians, 50 musicians that have been active in this scene for decades. And it's a self-perpetuating thing. It's a great community. I think people move to San Francisco to experiment.
But there's some stuff, too, back east. I had Al Margolis on, and this cat goes back to the cassette.
Yep.
I mean, it's new for what? I remember there was a band in the city called Black Humor, and they had this line in this tune. It goes, the only thing new is you finding out about it.
About the old shit, yes. That's right.
You know, here, at one time I thought I knew every zine, every punk band, and there was all this stuff slipping under my sonar or whatever.
Yeah,
let's check out, Dave, your journey through music. Can you bring your earliest musical recollection, please?
Oh, God. This is I thought about this before. I have actually written about this for some interview, and it was the earliest is I was about 2 years old, and it was evening, and I was in a crib in I guess my parents' bedroom in this little house, a peaked room. I remember the peaked ceiling, and you don't remember stuff very clearly.
I can't remember too at all.
Right. Well, I remember there was a warm yellow light with a lamp on the table and the frilly curtains and a dark window. And there, I remember the bars of the crib, okay. The wooden bars in the crib. And there was music. I didn't know what it was. But it was lovely and soothing.
Mysterious.
And probably instrumental, because I would have figured out if I would have heard a voice, but there was no voice. So it was just this sound. And I started calling for my mom, and they were probably downstairs entertaining and had the radio on, so my older siblings couldn't hear all the dirty words or something. But I had to call out to my mother and say, what is that? You know, what's going on? I couldn't figure out what the hell it was. And she just said that it was the radio. And that prompted even more questions. But there was this ethereal sound coming through the air. And she just put her hand on my forehead and patted my head and said, just listen and go to sleep. And that's exactly what I did. But that was my earliest musical recollection, because I actually had to dig that out of for another interview at one point. What was the earliest? And that definitely doesn't get much earlier than that.
No, and like you're fucking understanding her English and stuff. 2 years
old. Yeah, we have precocious kids in the family. My kids were like that.
Now, in the pad that you grew up there with the peaked roof, was there any musical instruments as you got beyond the crib?
Yeah. For a while, shortly after that, we lived in my grandparents' old house for a while. And my dad's baby sister had a toy piano, but it was, you know, the deluxe kind with all the black notes and white notes working. And they had the old family piano that my dad grew up on. So I had those two things, and I remember reaching up, playing the big piano. I couldn't even see the keys, but I was reaching up and playing the piano from a very early age. And then I'd play the little one, and my mom would say, you're like Schroeder in Peanuts, because I just spent hours on it.
That's great. Now, did you have to go through the lesson thing?
No, absolutely not. Lessons were not. My older sister took lessons, but music lessons weren't for boys.
Okay.
And, you know, but I eventually, there were four kids, and they wanted us all to be in band, not because they wanted us to be musicians.
You're talking about at school.
School band.
Yeah.
So that's where we got got the training, and it was to keep us out of trouble. They definitely did not want us to become musicians.
No, I can relate, because D. Boone's mom made me and him make a band just so we would be in the pad after school and not get in trouble.
Exactly.
Conno Child Care. So, was it the marching band? Was it the choir? Or?
It was marching band and concert band. I eventually got into orchestra as well.
Well, what did you work, what instrument?
I ended up on the tenor sax.
Oh, great. And John Coltrane.
That's the other thing about your program. It's like, oh, I have to, it's like a blindfold test because I have a huge Coltrane record collection and you're playing all this great Coltrane. So it's really hard to follow John Coltrane. But I came up through the school band route and, learned all my siblings' instruments. So my brother played trumpet, my sister played the flute and piano, my little sister played clarinet, and I learned all of their instruments. So I was like multi-instrumentally all over the place.
Wow.
My parents wouldn't allow electric guitars in the house at all.
Okay.
You know, they were very strict. They did not want us to be in the rock and roll thing. So I had all this musical curiosity, and the school band was the outlet.
Well, let me ask, speaking of rock and roll, what was the first record you bought with your own money? Was it rock and roll?
Rhythm and blues, probably.
Okay.
And we bought 45s back in
sure,
those days.
Sure, me too. My first one was American Woman by the Guess Who.
Oh.
And you got them at the drugstore.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the first one I bought that I can remember, it was actually for my brother's birthday, so it was The Name Game by Shirley Ellis.
Oh, okay.
Chuck, Bo Buck, Banana Man. you got that. Well, my brother's name was Charlie or Chuck.
Okay.
And if you did The Name Game right, you'd have to say, fuck. So that's why I bought that 45.
Now, what about the first gig you went and saw?
Well, gig or concert or something like that.
Live music.
Because kids don't go to bars. Well, the first live music would be like at an amusement park where, like, in the ballroom, a big band would be playing. So I heard, and my parents like big band music. This is in the mid-50s. They still had big bands locally. Or it would be like at a fish fry somewhere, and there would be a polka band. So polka music and big band music were the first live music that I heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This gig I went to was with D. Boone, and we saw T-Rex.
Oh, gosh. But
everybody always says that.
But the first teeny bopper show that I went to, I was in fifth or sixth grade, and it was Gary Lewis and the Playboys, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs,
sure.
and the Yardbirds.
Days, what the?
Yes, and the Yardbirds with both Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page.
Oh,
in the band.
Wow. You know, that you know, Wooly Bully.
Yes.
I mean, I think 1965, and he says, don't be L7. I mean, that's pretty sophisticated.
Oh, and I was, that's how I got off into the R&B thing, because I played, my instrument in band was a saxophone, and the
right.
main reason I played tenor was my dad knew a guy, one of his buddies, was an alto player, and he had an old beat-up tenor that he would sometimes double on. So when I started in school band, I wanted sax, and so my dad made a deal with his friend, and they got this beat-up old tenor. And that was, you know, I had to struggle with that for years.
Whoa. Was it a Selmer?
Oh, hell no. It was the guy's double horn. It was just like
okay, yeah. Or
that
like
he would double on.
Or Charlie Parker on the cover of that Massey Hall gig. He's got a plastic marching, a white alto.
Yeah, it's great.
Because
yeah.
He was always pawning it and shit, I read in the Miles book.
Here,
I want to play Stamps.
Yeah.
The pedal that I had to work the stapler with was a repeating kind of pedal, so as long as you held it down, it would keep firing. If you kept your foot down too long, you'd hit your hand. So you had to be very careful. as day went on, it got increasingly difficult to do because you get fatigued. And again, if you were hung over, like we were a lot, we were young people, drank too much in the evening to forget what we were doing, it became increasingly difficult to,
Life in the mill. Life in the mill. I mean, in a steel mill, you could die real fast.
I made $100 a week, and I thought I was in Fat City.
Oh, afterwards, you drank a lot. A lot of guys were just out of high school in their young 20s. So they were yahooing it up all the time.
Break for lunch at 11:30 and go across the river to this bar.
Try to slam down at least two beers.
At least 2.5 hours to slam down. And of course you're smoking substances there and back.
I got my hands pinched a couple of times. I know guys lost their fingers doing that stuff. I caught on fire a couple of times.
There were days when I'm just surprised nobody was killed.
Living, loving, working. Living, loving, working. Living, loving, working. But Sean, profane and vain, babbling. Sean, profane and vain babbler.
Men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, turn on the stereo.
In a fleeting moment, in the space of a heartbeat,
we need to be careful about our words. Our ears simply are not garbage cans. In the word, you can find milk.
Strange experiences through the use of psychedelic drugs.
Don't just play strange notes just because they're interesting. It's not interesting.
Living, loving, working.
Of a lightning flash, in the quick reflection of a scintillating star, in the untrammeled echo of feeling thunder, in the quick travel of celestial light.
Loving.
working.
In the dust of a fresh, in the rapidness of a lightning flash, in the quick reflection of a scintillating star, in the untrammeled echo of pealing thunder, in the quick travel of celestial, in the sweeping whisper of uncurved wind, in the curtains of time have been drawn.
Walk for Pedro Show, David Slusser with Damps and Zadok. I should say slash Zadok because that's the way you put the credit. And then the Go Team after that, brand new from them, A Bee Without Its Sting, which contains Brother Sam, which I made a song called No Bee Sting because several years ago. Trippy. The Hellbeans, brand new from them out of England. There Goes My Outfit. Blood Quartet out of Barcelona. That's Mark Cunningham from Mars. Invoke. Great stuff. And Scotty Irvin out of North Carolina with Clan Quartet. Alter of Breath. Love it. Joe Morris and Damon Smith, brand new out of St. Louis. Multiple Presences. And finally, David Schlosser and Zadok with Hit Replacement. Okay. I mean, it's amazing. It's trippy how you came from such a, you know, kind of, I'm not going to say institutionalized, but formal thing with the music, with the school band and stuff, to this really, but that's the way it works, right?
Yeah.
A farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Well, there is a lot of manure in my music.
Well, also institutionalized academia, maybe, too.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, right? It's all grist for the mill, huh? Become what you're going to be. And so what happened, since no electric guitar, no electric bass, no rock and roll drums, no rock and roll piano, what about after school, not graduated, but in the afternoon? Did you get into the bedroom band, basement band, garage band? Because this is way before ska band, so like, right? That's where the kids in the with the horns could finally get in the bands.
I tried for years to like get a, you know, with the black high school in the next neighborhood over, tried to get a rhythm and blues band together, and it never happened. But
well, at least you fucking tried. That's great.
Sure, and at home, all the guys, my brother finagled away. He my parents wouldn't get us guitars, but he, at his first job, he said, I'll buy my own acoustic guitar, and they can't get in trouble for that. So I followed the same route. Whenever my brother would, he went from ukulele to guitar to 12 string. So whenever he would upgrade, he would sell me his old guitar or ukulele. So he could afford, you know, just a little more money to buy the next one. So I started on ukulele and moved up to guitar. And, you know, you play and you shut the bedroom door, you put on the record or the radio. I just played along with the radio on guitar and ukulele.
And, you know what? That was – hardly anybody on the show says that. But in the old days, that's what a lot – because you didn't know the next song coming in. It was great training for rhythm and your ear.
Yep, right on.
Okay, but you're not really writing your own material. You're like me and D. Boone, trying to learn off records in the radio.
Yeah, just trying to be with it. Yeah. You know, I remember, I think the first thing I learned was Blowing in the Wind, because Peter, Paul, and Mary had the big hit right at that time. I was playing ukulele, and then I got interested in Bob Dylan because of that. And I also learned the Kinks, whatever their first day on All Night or whatever. I learned that on ukulele.
Oh, yeah.
And then shortly after that, I moved to guitar.
Speaking of Jimmy Page, I think he did the lead guitar on that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I think so.
Fantastic. But at the same time, about the electronic instruments, when we moved out of my grandparents' old place, we no longer had a piano. So my dad, who liked to tinker with playing piano, he just could play all the white notes. But he bought a modest Hammond organ, but it had two manuals and it had the drawbars. So I was 8 years old and I was always messing around with the drawbars and learning how all that worked. And I
learned
the overtone series. It was electronic music. That was like my introduction to electronic music was the Hammond organ.
Very interesting. Yeah, I know a little bit because my second man, Pete Amazes, plays a B3, and he went through the whole dealio with me about it. It's really ingenious how And also the king system with the brushes and all that stuff.
Yeah, the whole deal. I learned how to play the pedals too. I wasn't very good, but I was self-taught on all this stuff because my parents didn't want us to be musicians.
Right, right.
So there were no private lessons.
Yeah.
Autodidact. Yeah, exactly. But the crazy thing about the Hammond organ is with the two manuals, I'd have the lower manual and I would just have that on one of the presets and I would play a C. Then I go to the upper manual and just pull out one drawbar and I go play a C, but it's actually sounding like an E on the other manual.
Right, right.
And then I would pull out, I'd put that drawbar back in and pull out another drawbar and suddenly I'm playing a C, but it's a G on the other thing. And I go, what the hell is that? How could that be? And you learn that the overtone series are creating a timbre. It's a combination of all those things plus the fundamental C. So I learned that you synthesize the texture by adding overtones. I learned all that from the Hammond.
Yeah. Not just the Hammond, but by doing.
Yeah, by doing.
You know, like a skateboard, right? You don't pull ollies on the first ride. You probably fall down.
Oh.
But the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You got pissed? Did you hurt the organ?
No. I got plenty of bruised elbows trying that. Okay. Oh, and then, well, the other thing was the introduction of a tape recorder.
I've had a lot of cats on the show. Tape recorder as an instrument, not just a document device.
Exactly. And my grandfather was a ham radio guy, one of my grandfathers, and he would build all those little Heathkit things. And when I was and he also owned a wire recorder. But when I was real little, he actually built a tape recorder and housed it in a cigar box from one of those Heathkit things.
Yeah.
And I was completely mesmerized by the thing. And I think when I was in fifth grade, my parents bought me one of those little, 3-inch reel-to-reel things.
Like you see on the beginnings of all the Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, same deal. That's what I started on. And, you know, I broke it like three or four times. It was from Montgomery Wards. And Wards would actually fix stuff back in those days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sears, too. Like they had service things.
Yeah.
In fact, a Craftsman Wrench, right?
Yeah, right.
They're for life. If you break it, they give you another one. Or they do.
Yep. That's the old school, man. That was something else.
Yeah, yeah. So you start experimenting. What about the sound-on-sound thing? Do you stumble onto that?
Well, that was with a later. I bought another tape recorder used from a lawyer friend that my sister would babysit for. And he was selling some stereo equipment, so I bought a Sony reel-to-reel that had sound-on-sound, and then I started overdubbing and stuff like that. But I did, on the my first reel-to-reel back in grade school, I'd burn out one of the rewind motors, and then I saw that the capstan was actually doing the driving. That's,
right.
You know, the little rubber wheel against the head.
Right, that presses the tape against the...
So if the take-up reels aren't working, you could still play. And then
sure.
I taught myself how to make loops. I was still in grade school. But if the tape breaks, you would fix it with some Scotch tape.
Yeah.
And then I said, what would happen if I made it a loop? And I was doing loops like, you know, fifth, seventh grade. I would be making loops.
Delia Derbyshire, did you know
about
her?
Yeah, the English woman.
No, but did you know about her then? No.
No, absolutely not.
Going around chairs and doorknobs.
Well, later when I got work in film at the PBS outlet in Cleveland, I was on a documentary film unit, and I had to create ambiences, and I would make those. I'd get like two or three really long, like 30-foot loops, so you didn't hear the splice point
because
we had to make our own backgrounds. Half the cameramen would shoot without sound, and I would have to recreate it. And yeah, you get a bunch of mic stands around the room, and you disengage the take up reels, and you just run it on the capstan.
Yeah.
And I would get like two different recorders, tape recorders, playing two different loops of different lengths, so that you never hear the splice points at the same time. And I would record that sound over onto a film recorder, which is just like a magnetic tape machine with sprocket holes.
Right.
So I started learning all these techniques. That was just my day job so that I could be a musician at night.
Okay. And what, you work in clubs?
I did. I did.
And what, like mainly on the sax?
Yeah. My first gigs were like casuals. I was still in high school. And later I, you know, was in an R&B band in Cleveland. I was the only white guy in the band. And then I would be working at the TV station during the day. Yeah. And it got frustrating. So that's when, well, there's a long story. There were several bands that really did some crazy shit.
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour. We're going to get to that. Okay. As much as you want to reveal. But we're at the end of the first hour of the June 19th. Oh, yeah. Happy Juneteenth. June 19th, 2021 edition. Wap Pedro Show special guest. David Slusser, hold tight for hour two. June 19, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show. Thank you.
You know what? This song could be alright. And I could go out tonight. I could unburden myself. I could trap these amps in a jar and put them on the high shelf. Mr. Kurtz, he alive. He's back. But something is growing inside of you. Green banded brood sack of your cordyceps in the lateralus. Kamikaze horsehair. Oh, I agree. It's unfair. Sorry I get so angry, but there's a lot going on. That's no excuse, just an explanation. There's so much to chew over, so much to mull on. Sometimes the only way to fly is to fly.
one more bite from that hanging vine. Give me that little drop, little drop, little drop, little drop of medicine, medicine, medicine. Give me that little drop, little drop, little drop, little drop of medicine.
Walk for Pedro show started the second hour off. David Slusser, and I'm assuming, which is dangerous, I know, but a name like Zorn, it must be Mr. John Zorn.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. And also Zadok, right, the name of his label.
Right, that was...
That's making
that was
sense to me.
Okay, it's not... Now you got it. There's a Zorn connection there.
Okay, and Blue Shadows in the Street. Then Ben Salter from Tasmania with Ophiocordyceps Unilateralis. Shit, make it harder, brother. And then Lucas Abella out of Sydney with K is for Keratosis Pilaris. Trapper Shope with Little Drop of Medicine. You know, I have to have those medicine words. Nothing Changes from Kiwi Jr. out of Toronto. Actually, they're originally Maritime. One day I got to play Maritime. And then David Slusser, Zadok, Ill Prepared. Okay, so about those little bands and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That led up to today. What do you want to say about that stuff?
Well, I had a college band, and we ended up being the big fish in a small town. And we're really successful. And what we were presenting was mostly improvised. It would be like a jam band in today's terminology. Kind of like the Grateful Dead would be, only we were much more jazzy because I play saxophone. And we had such a huge following that we said, oh, we should be a band and take it on the road. And so we tried that for about a year, and we would travel up to Ann Arbor, Bowling Green, other colleges in Ohio, Cleveland. We got as far as Buffalo. So we had this regional band that was playing original jazz-influenced music. Plus, we would do, like, oak jazz covers if that was what the gig was. We played bars. We played university. We played wherever we could.
Right.
We'd do blues. And we weren't really a cover band, but we would do things like when we were under pressure to get people up on the floor to dance. We were all really quick studies or just played by ear really great. So we would just go into the vamp of the latest Rolling Stones records and, boom, everybody would be on the dance floor. But we wouldn't know how to play the rest of the song.
You just ahead, yeah. Okay.
Just ahead, then we would segue into our own shit, and you know, if the bar owner was happy, we got hired back. They didn't care, you know, as long as people were drinking like crazy.
I've read stories about John Coltrane walking the fucking bar.
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine that? But you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, I guess. You know.
Yeah, crazy. But this group eventually. We were, like I say, we toured locally for about a year in the mid-70s, and after I had come to California to see my brother get married, I said, I got to move to California, mostly because of the nude sunbathing of my brother's neighbor anyway. But the band, after about 6 months, the whole band ended up out here in the Bay Area, and we played for years any kind of gig, but mostly still pursuing our original music and improvised-based music, and kept it going through various...
I lost you there. I'm going to go to Dragon.
在我们村庄后的山上, 住着一条龙。 它从土地里钻出来, 它动起来像一条蛇。 它醒来时, 情绪焦躁 它的气息是火焰 它强壮 聪慧 但是, 他不可激怒, 不可较量 跳舞，以祈求龙给我们带来和睦和丰收。现在龙累了，他用他铁钳般的大爪在地上挖掘，听他像蛇一样钻回山洞。可每当有光线时，它就会飞出高山。亲身见过龙吗？如果你没见到，大概是因为龙一直在沉睡。
capitalism has bled my kind for years. A black man dies just for from 2 pounds of flesh, wash him down.
Thank you. Ralph Barney Wright on the saxophone, Chris Ackerman on the drums, Bill Fairbanks, and the inimitable Dave Slusser. Thanks a lot. We gotta stop.
Drive safely. It's dangerous out there.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with David Slusser, Zadok doing Dragon. Then Joshua M. Robbins with Golden Hair. Joe Cardamone with USA. Sam Locke Ward at Iowa City with Beep. Bob Bucko Jr. nearby Dubuque, Driving Eyes Open. PK in the brand new record. DC area. New to you. I love this record that Pat Kane did. He's part of Model Home. Solo thing here. And then finally, here's a different name. Rubber City with Ring / Ghost.
Ring of Fire and Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Okay. Okay, okay. That, God, that's 60s.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this group, Rubber City, was a group that I did with a sax player recently departed named Ralph Carney.
Oh, and all about him in Tin Huey, and had some of his buddies on the show, right?
Yeah.
Out of Akron.
Akron. That's why it's Rubber City, because Akron was where all the tires
were. Right. We had a band come to Hollywood during the punk scene called the Rubber City Rebels.
I remember the name because it was infringement. But,
okay.
Yes, so Ralph and I played, he was just out of high school and I was just out of college, and we played in Ohio together for like one summer, maybe a year and a half back there. He went to New York, I went to California, and then in 1989 he moved out to California, and we said, oh, let's put our old thing back together, and so it's two saxes, bass, and drums.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about this, the John Zorn thing. I mean, you gave me so much of this music with Zadok, so
that's
a profound thing, right?
Yeah, that's all the Zadok stuff is from my release that John had me do, which was all music made out of sound. It's sound composition. The whole Zadok CD was sound composition. The name of the CD is Delight at the End of the Tunnel.
Okay. But he's not in the Bay Area. He ain't in California. He's on the other side.
Yeah, but John travels across the country. And
oh, absolutely.
Curates and cultivates working groups in different cities. And in the 80s, he came out here, and through my friends in the Rova Saxophone Quartet, I got drafted to play electronics in one of his Cobra pieces. And I eventually, every time he came out, I would play on his concerts. And then I went on tour with him briefly, doing Cobra around the country. And as a gesture of friendship, he said, oh, you can have a release on my new record label, but it has to all be made out of sound effects. You know,
Taskmaster.
He is.
I love this music you did for him. It's happening.
But the Blue Shadows in the Street was actually one of his tribute albums to Dave Brubeck. So that's a Dave Brubeck song, and I'm put it together with Music Concrete elements.
Music Concrete. So you studied stuff like that, huh?
No. I learned it.
Because we didn't really get past high school and shit, but did you went to learn music past that?
Yeah, I started college. This is probably despite my parents, who would never let me take lessons or anything. I taught myself enough that I was writing for big band by the time I got out of high school.
Whoa.
I just taught myself.
Yeah, bitchin'.
I got into Miami University as a music major, and I was...
We're talking about the Miami by Dayton, right?
Correct. Ohio, yeah. I made it there. I studied... That's the first time I actually got to study music, and there was... They had a brand new course called electronic music, and it was taught by this guy who became a pioneer, in electronic music, David Cope.
I'll just mention
his name, but that was my instructor on the teaching me how to play synthesizers. And I learned about music concrete and actually started making pieces back in college as part of that course.
Now, you had already been on your own developing your the tape kind of electronic music.
Yeah, I got to do that further. I said, oh, now I can use it in a piece.
Oh, yeah, okay. And then you're just adding to your vocabulary.
Well, I learned how to formalize it. Before, I was just, you know, guys used to fart and burp, you know, into tape recorders. That's what you did with a tape recorder when you were a kid. So this was taking all that, you know, learning how to formalize it. So I did get some, when I finally got to college, I did study. But then I changed majors over to film. The more I learned, there were other aspects, you know, especially the electronics part. I wasn't going to be a band teacher. I wanted to be a musician, so. Or something.
No, I know what you mean. I've had people on the show that have told me that experience, like, you're going to be a teacher. No, I want to be a musician.
Yeah. Well, I transferred over to film, and then that's how I got all the film jobs, and I ended up working for a Lucasfilm out here and Pixar. They originally were the same company, but I spent years as a mixer and a sound editor and a music editor, and all that time I'm using all their studio equipment. That's how I did the Zodiac CDs, was all on in Lucasfilm's Skywalker Studios.
Repurposing.
I had free run of the place.
Yeah.
All the equipment, I take home expensive recording equipment, microphones, and my day job at the time was recording weird sounds for all these weird movies, or, you know, the space movies and the, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, man, we're at the end of the second hour, so we'll continue on. June 19, 2021 edition of Wap Pedro Show, special guest David Schlosser. Hold tight for hour three. June 19, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Talk about 60 hertz power. What that means is that the 115 volts coming out the wall isn't 115 volts at any given time. That's an average. It goes from zero to about 150 volts and back to zero and back to 150 volts. It does that cycle 60 times every second on a sine wave cycle. If you looked at it on a oscilloscope, you'd see a sine wave 60 times a second. And that's where 60 hertz comes from. Connecting a live power system once, running 400 volts, 200 amps, 60 hertz everywhere. I'm in there with a set of wrenches on each phase, and the guy turned the power on the other end. He threw me about 25 feet. My arms, shoulders, and back hurt for about 3 days. Came to after about 5 minutes, blue in the face. Everyone said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine, it's only power. But I'm going to go and kill the guy." He ran away.
Watch for Pedro show. Started the third hour off with David Schlesser, Zadok, doing 60 Hertz. Then Pino Ventana from Bassman, Jason, from Brooklyn Studio, Caesar's Palace. Brother Steve McKay connect. Intrinsic. And then Angelo from David Schlesser, Zadok. So, off air, people, Dave was telling me he's semi-retired, but he's still got resources. So every day, if there's something happening, what do you explain?
Well, I have, usually when I work, I have a digital workstation, mixing console, libraries of sound effects, outboard gear. That's been my day, always available as my day gig. So if I like, if I hear something I like, I make something I like, I have it on DAB, digital media, sound files. I just collect them, collect weird sounds, and then later use this collection of sounds to make pieces if I get some kind of connection going in my head.
And so, like, the fundamental work is the weird sounds. So you never used the synthesizer like a fake keyboard?
No, no. Yeah. Well, that was the other. I had access to, for years at Lucasfilm, I had access to a Synclavier in my studio.
Wow.
They had, like, five Synclaviers, and I was in a room with one of them, and you could do whatever you wanted. And that's how you start making. I didn't want to make a fake orchestra.
Yeah.
I just like play string patches. No, I wanted to make an orchestra out of doorbells and wind chimes.
Almost like Jones. Remember that cat in the 50s?
Oh, definitely. And actually, his daughter is currently still at Skywalker. She runs the scoring stage.
Is that right?
Leslie Ann Jones.
Oh, wow.
Great engineer.
Shows to go, you.
Yeah, it sure does. But I had expressed.
Can you imagine, though, like there's no electronic music, but he's kind of laying down some groundwork for you, Cat.
Oh, Absolutely. I had to genuflect before Leslie Ann. I just said, your dad was the man.
And the cats in his band, they must have had discipline like a motherfucker.
Oh, right. Some of those guys, they're on the tip of my tongue. Manny Klein on trumpet. I mean, I know some of the guys in the band, their names, because they were such hot guys.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of it, right, cartoon music. And to sync that to the imagery in those days.
Yep. That's the whole genesis of certain types. Well, Zorn had his cartoon music, but there is this synchronization of making music out of sound effects
right.
in those cartoons.
Right. And if you think about it, that's fundamentals of sample work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what is a sample? It's like a little tape recording.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's trippy how it's all kind of comes together, but then it still can go out and you can take it in your own personal way and express yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be all Marlon Brando and generic. I want to play here, Sala.
Thank you.
Wife for Pedro, last music for this edition. Sala, not Saul. David Slosser and Zadok. We're speaking Brother Demos and Shaker Heights. And his, one day he's going to get to watch that video with somebody. Not watch. Yeah, not David. And then we had Sawako. This is something she live stream she just did a few days ago for Rodeo Lirico 21, Otto Talalia. Okay, and then finally, beautiful Ohio, Rubber City, you and Ralph.
Yeah,
which is beautiful. I thought, great last music from you. But the Sawako, you know, this lady works a lot with field recording. Did you ever get into that?
Totally. Yes, is the answer. I had to, part of the job a lot was, in my film jobs, even back in Cleveland, was going out and making film recordings because the guys would shoot without sound a lot of the times.
Right.
So that's the main reason you have field recordings, at least as in the film business, because, you know, you have to make up for missing sound.
Yeah.
And you have, and where they were shooting, you know, there might have been a highway right next to it. So you have to recreate the sound. So stereo recordings out in the field, crickets, weird ambiences, distant trains, close-up trains.
Well, you'll hear in this piece that she did, she's sitting at the beach, and the wind is actually flapping on her shirt.
There you go.
So there's a rhythm there, right?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe it ain't in a metronome, but it's probably naturally more accurate.
Yep. Rhythm of nature.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about field recordings, that rhythm of nature stuff.
Real thing. Birds, insects.
Because our sense of rhythm is kind of an imposed thing, huh? We don't even listen to our heart, really.
You know, and I bet if people probably could, we probably have the ability to hear our heartbeat, but we don't hear it. We tune it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, there are other rhythms that aren't metrical.
Right. Well, you know, Elvin Jones even, right? No, that different drummer, it's only a half hour you can find on YouTube.com, but because he played like the ocean, like in swells, right? So yeah, they couldn't play with me. Ron Carter narrates the thing and stuff. But after Elvin Jones comes on the scene, drumming starts to change a little bit.
Yeah, nothing. He was so great. So great.
And you know, his bitch and Jimmy was talking about Mitch Mitchell. He goes, yeah, Mitch Mitchell is my Elvin Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? I know, it's the most bitching thing.
I have the same opinion. I'm of the same opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Love Mitch Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there's just something. But see how I'm trying to unite these two. I don't think they're such separate things, the field recording and then, you know, figuring out a jazz swing or, you know.
Well, that's how this music sound composition stuff works, is that you start to put the sound thing, the sound occurrence, in place of where we usually have, like, the rhythm guitar. I want this thump, thump, thump of those tree branches hitting together.
Right.
Or I want the gurgle of the creek instead of the ride cymbal.
Right. Right. Okay. So, you know, I don't think maybe you're, you know, the daytime, or like Franz Kafka said, the two desks, right? He worked at that insurance place. But I think the movie thing, no, the cinematic perspective element, dimension, it's, I think, in your music, too.
Yeah, I would call it, I do call it the theater of the ear.
Okay.
There's a proscenium arch. You have left and right. It's like ideal for headphones, really.
Right.
But if you have a nice stereo, you get the effect. You can, the sound is all around you. There are ways to make the sound wider than just the two speakers.
Yeah.
By manipulating phase.
And right. You can, it travels, right?
Yes. And just to create that environment and how that works almost, coupled with what's happening inside your brain.
Yeah, I was going to say brain floss.
Yeah.
like earwig eating its way through. Look, where can people find you on the internet, Dave?
DavidSlusser.com.
Yeah.
D-A-V-I-D. SLUSSER, one word, .com.
Yeah, people go there because there's a lot of good stuff there. What's your next plan?
My next plan? I'm doing more sound composition. I'm, you know, working with this wonderful group of San Francisco Bay Area musicians. There's always little projects you're working on. So I'm still doing more composition of parts. I have a couple musicians. We're trading files right now during the pandemic, and just I'll add a part and then I'll send it back to a friend. And some of this stuff, it's between music and sound design. It's a lot of improvised music. Also, I've gotten into playing on the internet during the pandemic. We had it got up to like 18 people at once through a special server.
Wow. And the latency was in hell.
Well, you play a type of music where the latency isn't as...
You know,
a little looser.
Yeah, right.
But we also learned how to do rhythmic things, and we're working off of a local server that we set up, so it kind of distributed the latency a little bit. There are ways to ignore the latency, work around it, or assign one person to carry the rhythmic load, and it works. But thank God, I'm getting out of that now because I think we're actually going to start playing out in the open again.
Right.
And
That's what the vaccine's about, people. Don't get carried away from that bullshit. That's how we're going to wrestle this thing and get a handle on it.
Well,
when you get new music, Dave, will you come back on the show and play it and discuss it with me?
Absolutely. Anytime, Mike. You're doing such a favor to all the people that you're looking into in your series. I certainly would.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. Well, you're helping me, too. The lesson never lessens. Or the lessons never lessen. People, it's been 2/19/2021 edition of Wapito Show. Keep your powder dry.